Good song there. All right, we're going to go all the way back to Psalms and catch up because we started in Psalms 119. So we're going to be in Psalms 1 tonight. If you want to read, you're sure welcome to do that with us together as we do it every Wednesday night. So if you would like to do that, you can get in the line with us and we'll start with Psalm 1 and read as many Psalms as we can here tonight. So we're grateful tonight that you're here. May the Lord bless you. So you, Brother Keith, you go ahead and read Psalms 1, okay?
Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Thank you, my brother. All right, sister. This is the whole chapter.
Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from thy way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are they, or all they that put their trust in him.
Amen. Thank you. All right, Brother George, just the whole chapter 3 there.
Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which save my soul. There is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lift thereof of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah.
Amen. Thank you, Brother George. All right, so we're going to be in Acts tonight, Acts chapter 17. I appreciate you reading tonight the Word of God. You know, that's biblical. Do y'all know that? That when you read the Scripture aloud, that's what the Bible would require. Used to, years ago, that's what they did. 100, 200, 300 years ago, they read the Bible aloud. It's not done much any longer. But we're grateful tonight that we can. Acts chapter 17. Let's begin reading in verse 22. And it's a well-known story, and I'm sure that when we begin to read it, you'll know about it. It's Paul there on Mars Hill. But I want to preach tonight on the vision of missions, the vision of missions. It says, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I come to you, Father, tonight with a heavy heart. I come to you tonight, Lord, with burdens and cares of this life. And yet at the same time, tonight, dear God, you've given us victory. You've given us liberty. God, you've helped us along the way. And tonight we pray that you open our eyes up to what Paul was doing there in Mars Hill. God, may Glory Baptist Church tonight be unified. And may we come together, Lord, as one mind and one heart with one spirit. God, that we may be as a vision tonight as Paul had for this people of Mars Hill, of Athens. And God, may it be so tonight, Lord, that there be somebody saved. May it be so tonight, God, that we would have the same vision that Paul had as a missionary. And God, I pray you open our eyes, our hearts tonight. I pray the Word of God will be real. Jesus will be real. God, heaven is real. I pray tonight, Father, that you draw us to you. And may you get glory and honor. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. If you notice there in the Scripture, there's Paul said in verse 23 that they have that altar that he saw. And there was an inscription on that altar, and it said, to the unknown God. But what were they doing at the altar? They were worshiping. The Bible says that, verse 23, it says, and you ignorantly worship him I declare unto you. So in context of the Scripture, it's worship. You know what the vision of missions is for us and for Paul? Is that we would find sinners so that they would worship God. Amen? That's our job. It's our responsibility tonight that we would take our children and grandchildren, take our family and take our neighbors and co-workers and take those that are out and about, those that are sinful, those that are wrong and indifferent tonight. And it ought to be a vision of Glory Baptist Church that we would tell every single person that we come in contact with so that they can worship God. I don't know if you ever thought of it from that perspective. Many times we're thinking, well, we just need to see their souls saved. We need them to get in church. We need them to do right. We need them to be blessed by God. We need them to put together what's broken. We need to take that hurt heart and heal it. You know, we have all of those things, but tonight there's really only one main goal. And that is that the whole world is counting on you and I tonight to let them know how they can worship God. So tonight, that is the vision of missions, is worshiping God. And that is what they were doing. And this is what Paul was going to declare to them. He's fixing to declare to them God. You know why? Because they don't have to worship God ignorantly. Right now, they're worshiping God ignorantly with no knowledge of Him. But here, Paul is saying in Mars Hill in Athens, he said, I am here to declare unto you who God is so that you can worship Him. And friend, that's what the Glory Baptist Church ought to be all about tonight, is that we ought to be looking for people, white, black, brown, male, female, young, old, rich, poor, sinful, righteous, and those that are all about in there, that they may worship God. Now, let me ask you a question tonight. Do you worship God? Then wouldn't it be just right that they worship God? I mean, if we tonight have the privilege and the blessing of worshiping God, then why don't my next door neighbor have that privilege? Why don't my children have that privilege? Why not my family? Why not my coworker? Why not the clerk down at the store? Why not the banker? Why not the doctor? Why not the plumber? Why not the electrician? Why not the policeman? Why not? Why not? And tonight, it may be a hope that a vision will come upon you tonight and say, you know what? That's going to be my vision. That I'm going to go about here, not that they just get saved, oh, that they can worship God, because I know the feeling of that. I know the blessing of that. I know the power of that. I know that when I get to praise God and worship God, it just changes my whole attitude. It changes my whole actions. It just gives me a new way of life. It gives me some fire. It gives me some vibrancy. And I want to do right. I want to be right because of worshiping of God. God. And don't we want the whole world to worship God? Well, then we got to get part of missions. Amen? That's the only way it's going to happen tonight. I want you to notice, number one, in the vision of missions is the motive of missions. The motive of missions. We're going to have to take this tonight and what Paul was saying and say, you know, my motive of passing out a tract tomorrow is so that they will worship God. My motive to ask somebody to come to church tomorrow is so that they will worship God. My motive is to, when I witness to somebody, that they will worship God. That's my motive. And so tonight, it ought to be, has to be, the motive for the lost to worship God, for the world to worship God, and for the ignorant to worship God. Amen? And so we have the lost, we have the world, and we have the ignorant. There's people out there that are worshiping a God, but it's not our God. It's not the God. And so it's our job tonight to tell them how to worship God. Not just any God, not just some God, not every God, but the God tonight. Amen? We are the worshipers of God, and we know whom He is tonight. We have great privilege and great honor, but it doesn't stop there. Our responsibility doesn't end right here in this room. It goes beyond this room into the world, into the lost, into the ignorant, that you and I would have a motive that they would worship God. I want you to notice this evening that Jesus declared to Satan in Luke chapter 4 in verse 8 concerning this subject of worship. He said, as the devil spoke to Jesus in the way of temptation, he asked him to fall down and worship him. Jesus responds and says this, and Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now this is Jesus talking to the devil. And he's telling the devil, he's telling Satan, now how much is all the world, how much is all the heathens, and how much all the lost tonight has the same verse that should be applied to them, amen, as it is written, thou shalt worship thy God and serve him alone, amen. So we know tonight that even the devil is told to worship God. We know tonight that that is what Jesus declared to Satan. Number two, I want you to notice what Jesus describes to the woman. Turn to John chapter 4 and look in verse 20. Not only does Jesus declare to the devil that he is to worship God and to serve him alone, but Jesus is describing to the woman, chapter 4 and verse 20, if you turn there with me here this evening, and we see that Jesus has now come to the woman at the well. And they have a conversation, and he begins to tell her in verse 20, as she said to him, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. We find here in this statement that he's making, describing to him, that if you notice there in verse 20-23, he says, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Now, why is our motive tonight to go to the world, to the lost, and to the ignorant, and that we may tell them about Jesus so they can worship God? I'm going to tell you what our motive is. It's because God is seeking for worshipers. God is looking out to the world. God's looking out to the lost. God's looking out to the worst. God's looking out to the sinful. God's looking out to anyone and everyone. And in the heart of God, he's saying, I am seeking those that worship me. But it's going to take the church to go out and reach them. God wants them to worship him, but we're going to have that motive in our heart that's what our motive is that the Father requires it. See, why would the Father tonight in verse 23 say, for the Father seeketh such to worship him? It's because the Father requires worship. That's why. God requires you to worship Him tonight. And when you don't worship Him, you're in sin. So God, the Father tonight requires it. The Father demands it. You don't have an option tonight to worship God. If you don't worship God, you're not right with God. You're sinful for God. Tonight, if you're not worshiping God, you're not doing what God asks you to do and what God desires you to do. Tonight, God wants the whole world to worship Him. Amen. That's right. He demands it. He requires it. For the Father seeks it. But none do I know that Jesus describes it to the woman that this is the Father's heart, is that He's looking for seekers. He's looking for those that worship Him. But I notice that God's Word directs it. Look at Psalms chapter 95 with me. God's Word directs it to the earth dwellers, those that are on this earth. There's some direction that Psalms is given to every earth dweller. Who are earth dwellers? That's you and me. If you're breathing, you're an earth dweller. So we find tonight in chapter 95 of Psalms, verse 1, "Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before the presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto this with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is also His. The sea is His. He made it. His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice." We find that we are directed to worship this God. In Psalms chapter 96, in verse 1, Psalms 96 and verse 1, "Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth." Who? All the earth. "Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among the people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord hath made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O you kindreds of people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him." Who? All the earth. And so this evening, the very vision of missions for Glory Baptist Church is our motive, is that we would tell the world, the heathen, the lost, the ignorant tonight, that it is a direction of God's Word that you worship God. It is the very desire of the Father that you worship Him. It is the very declaration to Satan and hell itself tonight that you worship God. We find fourthly here, though, that God's Word demands it in the way of the heavenly dwellers. Turn your Bible to Revelation chapter 4. So not only earth are they to worship God, and not only here tonight, does the Father require it? And Jesus declares it. But in Revelation chapter 4, the Bible says in heaven, this is what's taking place. Look at this. Chapter 4 of Revelation, verse 8. "And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is to come." Now that's the created beings of heaven. That's who God created. Those beasts. Those are creations. And they go night and day. They don't ever rest. They don't ever give up. They don't ever give in. For hundreds and thousands and millions of years, they have been praising. They've been worshiping. Because that's what they do in heaven. Amen. Then the Bible says, "And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before Him and sat on the throne and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." And now those that have went to heaven, those who have been been saved and born again in heaven, the Bible says, is worshiping the Lamb of God. Worshiping God. Amen. That's what they do. And they're going to do it forever and forever and forever. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11. The Bible says, and we held, and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Anybody know that number? Innumerable. Right? There's not enough zeros to fill this room up to fill that up. So we find there's multiple people saying, with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature, how many in heaven? Every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard them saying, blessing, honor, glory, power, be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the four and twenty elders fell down and what? Worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. If you're still not convinced. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude. There's that many, many people again, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people. Tongues stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, palm in their hands, cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, and sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, fell before the throne on their faces, and did what? Worshipped God. Revelation chapter 11. In verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And 24 elders, which sat before God on their seats, and fell upon their faces, and worshiped God. Amen. I don't know. Heaven determines it all. Look in Revelation 19, verse 10. The Bible says, And I fell at his feet to worship him. He said unto me, See that thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, that I have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Worship God. That's what you do. You don't worship anything else. You worship God. Chapter 22 of Revelation, verse 8. The Bible says, And John saw these things and heard them, and when he heard them, he fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then he said unto me, See that thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, thy prophets, of them which keep the sayings of this book. What did he say at the end? Worship God. Can I say tonight, is it careful to say, is it true to say, is it right to say, is it righteous to say tonight that God in his word of heaven, of earth, and of hell would say, worship God. That's the vision it ought to be of Glory Baptist Church, is that the world, the lost, and the ignorant would worship God. You and I are going to have to do it. The government ain't going to tell the world to worship God. The colleges are not going to tell the world to worship God. The families of America is not going to tell them to worship God. You're not going to find any education, you're not going to find any institution that's going to say anything about worship God. The only thing, the only people, the only entity, the only organism that has the right and authority and the privilege and honor to tell the world, the lost, and the ignorant to worship God is the church. Amen. And Glory Baptist Church is part of that group. Amen. So tonight, I'll pray that that's your motive. Your motive. Not only is it the motive of missions, but I noticed a directive of missions. He says, back into our text in Acts chapter 17, he says, Him, in verse 23, Him declare I unto you. This is the directive of missions. Now, the word directive means an official or authoritative information or instruction. So when I say directive, I'm saying that there's something of authority, there's something of power and official that would give us some instruction on what does it mean tonight to worship God. Well, Paul is going to describe to these individuals who God is. You see, tonight we can't worship God unless we know who God is. And so tonight I wonder if somebody would ask you the question, who is God? How would you describe Him? If somebody said to you, do you know God? And you say, I know God. They said, have you seen God? Have you heard God? Have you felt God? Have you touched God? All those going to be no. Then how do you know there's a God? And what God are we talking about? There's a God of Islam. That's not the God of the Bible. There's a God of Hindus, 330 million of them, and they're not the God of the Bible. There's the God of Buddhists, but not the God of the Bible. There's the God of Catholicism, but it's not the God of the Bible. There's the God of Jehovah's Witness, but not the God of the Bible. There's the God of Seventh-day Adventists, but not God of the Bible. There's a God tonight of Mormons or Mormonism, but it's not the God of the Bible. So tonight, if God is demanding and requesting, and Jesus told even Satan that he had to worship the Lord God and serve Him only tonight, and all of heaven is saying worshiping God, and all of the earth is saying to worship God, and Jesus describes to the woman about worshiping God that God is looking for somebody to worship Him. He's looking and seeking for worshipers of God. Who in the world is God? And if you and I of Glory Baptist Church tonight is going to reach the masses and reach the population and reach those that are unsaved tonight, how are we going to reach them if we don't know who God is? He describes tonight this God. He begins to do that there in verse 24. He says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life, breath, and all things, hath made of one blood of all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation. They that seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him, find Him, and though He be not far from any one of us, for in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain of the own poets have said, we are also His offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought to not think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. Do you know tonight where do we go to find the worship of God? You go to the Ten Commandments. You go to the law. The law gives it to us. It gives us very clearly. Now, before we get to the law, though, the Ten Commandments, because it will describe to us about the God that we are to worship. And it will describe to us many other things that we'll get through tonight. But Jesus just made it real simple. Turn to Mark chapter 12 with me. And you might remember the occasion is that they asked a question to Jesus about the greatest commandment. About what is this commandment that would be the commandment above all commandments? They asked that question in verse 28, and one of the scribes came, and having heard the reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Which is the greatest commandment? Well, we know there's 10 of them, right? So it's kind of like they're trying to trick Jesus here. But Jesus said it perfectly. He said, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. So now we're talking about a God that's one. Right? We're not talking about a plurality of gods. We're not talking about many gods. We're not talking about a multiple gods. It's one God. And so that's who we're speaking of tonight. And that one God, the Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and with all thy strength. And this is the first commandment. Well, if you would know tonight, you don't have to turn there, but in Exodus chapter 34, verse 1, God tells Moses to make two stones. Is that right? He said to them, he said, there was two tables of stone. Now, why was there two tables of stone, I wonder? I wonder, and I'm thinking, and I'll tell you what I believe it is there's two stones. There's only 10 commandments. Okay, there's 5 commandments on this stone, and there's 5 commandments on that stone. And so that's why there's two. I'm thinking, why didn't we just have one stone? Just one stone with all 10 commandments. No, that's not what God wanted. God wanted two stones. This is what I believe tonight. He said to them, he said, let me just make this real simple to you. That there's one stone for God, and there's one stone for man. Right? And the one stone for God is the first 4 commandments. The first commandment is, have no other gods before me. The second commandment is, have no graven image. The third commandment is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And the fourth commandment is, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That was on the one stone. That's the stone for God. In other words, what the commandments is on that stone is your accountability and your responsibility to God. Right. On the other stone is the fifth, and the fifth says, honor thy father and thy mother. The sixth says, thou shalt not kill. The seventh says, thou shalt not commit adultery. The eighth said, thou shalt not steal. The ninth said, that thou shalt not bear false witness. And number 10, thou shalt not covet. That has something to do with man. And then he says to them, he says, to love thy neighbor as thyself, and this is the second. So he describes it simply. He says, the first is the commandments to me. The second tablet, or the second stone, is for man. And so these are the 10 commandments. Now let's turn to the 10 commandments, and let's see the God and that we are to worship, that we are to present to the world so that they can worship God. We find in Exodus chapter 20. And we see that they are given there. And so let's look in verse 3. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3. I want to preach on this evening and this part of the directive of missions is the person of worship. The person of worship. If we don't get this right, church, nobody worships. You might think there's worship that goes on in all other places of religion. There's no worship that goes on in any religion unless it's the worship of God. What they're doing has nothing to do with worship. And whatever religion they have, whatever denomination they're facing, whatever feeling they got, whatever of the thoughts in their mind, or whatever the emotions that they're demonstrating, has nothing to do with God. God is a person, and the person today must be the one that's worshipped. That's why Paul is going to declare to them him. Right? Because see, they're worshiping an unknown altar at their devotions. And Paul says, you are ignorantly worshiping the true God. But let me describe him. Let me declare him to you. And that's what I'm about to do to you, is say, hey, listen, let's look at this and let's see who he is. And the first commandment, in order for us to know the person of worship, it says, have no other gods before me. So that is the person of worship. Everybody else is excluded. Everything else is excluded. There's nothing at all that is included in the way of worship. I'm talking about worshiping God. He's the person of worship. He's the object of worship. He's the subject of worship. He's the focus of worship. He is the hands of worship. He is the one that we are worshiping in. Amen. He is a person, and that is how worship will begin. It will begin with him. It will end with him. We find there, since we're going to come back to Exodus, go back to Acts chapter 17. I want you to notice that because there's no other God before you, there cannot be another God before you in the worship of God. And so he tells us that this God is the creator of everything. That's what Paul says. So this God, this person, in Exodus chapter 20, that says this is the first commandment, this is the law, he's explaining to us that he is the creator of everything. Is there anything that's been created that he didn't create? No. Is there anything that's going to be created that he didn't create? No. He is the creator. The Bible says that so clearly in Acts chapter 17. As we've already read it here, Paul says it very, the way Paul does say it, it's so clear with him as well. He says that God that made the world and all things therein. And so we find tonight that there's no other God before us. Amen. We can't worship any other gods. It has to be this God. And this God is the creator of all things. But he's not just the creator. He's the only creator. And so we got to know that. We got to know that the God and that we worship is the creator of you. The creator of us, the creator of everything we see, the creator of everything that we touch, the creator of everything that we have, the creator of all that's within us, the creator of who we are and what we do and how we do it, the creator, the creator, the creator. That's who we worship. And if we're going to reach the world for the motive of worship, we've got to give them the creator of the world. That's who we got to give. Because they have no other gods before him. We find, secondly, that he's the Lord of heaven. We see that in the text. He said that he is the Lord of heaven. That word there, Lord, means he's the supreme of heaven. He is the ruler of heaven. He's the sustainer of heaven. He is the possessor of heaven. That's what that word Lord means tonight. And so there be no heaven without God. There would be no sustaining of heaven. There would be absolutely no way that you and I would even have an earth to live on. There would be absolutely no way of gravity that would keep us here, us going up because of no gravity. The Bible says, not the Bible, but the scientists say that the earth is on a 23-degree axis. And friend, it's just perfect where it's not too cold, it's not too hot. If we just get off just a little bit, we'd all burn up or freeze to death. Amen. And it is him, God, that is keeping all things sustained, keeping all things in order. He's the one keeping all things rolling and moving and doing the things that they need to do. When it rains, it's because he calls it to rain. When it snows, he calls it to snow. When the sun shines, he calls it to sunshine. And when the dark comes, it's because of him the night. He is Lord.
Yes, he is.
He's Lord of heaven.
Yes, he is.
But not is he Lord of heaven. He's Lord of the earth. He's Lord over you. Whether you want him to be or not. Whether you confess it, whether you bow to it, whether you want him or not, he's Lord. And it has nothing to do with you. He's Lord of heaven. He's Lord of every creation he made. He's Lord of every animal, every flower, every vegetable. He's Lord of every planet. He's the Lord of every person. He's Lord of all the money. He's Lord of all the things. He's Lord. That's who we got to give to the world. The motive is we got to get them to worship.
Yes, sir.
But not just worship any God, but to worship this God. Amen. The only true God, the creator, the Lord of heaven and the Lord of earth. We find here that Paul says also there in verse 24, he says, dwelleth not in temples made with hands.
Right.
You know, there's religions out there that when you walk into their cathedrals, or you walk into their synagogues, or you walk into their mosque, or you walk into their temples, they got figurines. They got things on the desk. They got things hanging on the wall. They got all these little deals, and these little things are made out of wood and ceramic and steel and glass. That's not God. That's not God. He said, I'm telling you, my God tonight and your God and the God to worship tonight does not dwell in temples made with hands. Woo! Man, I feel like shouting. Listen, he is the only true, living, holy, eternal, ever-present God. Amen. You can't hold them. You can't keep them. You can't stop them. You can't beat them. You can't explain them. You can't contain them. You can't lower them. You can't counsel them. You can't make them. You can't hide them. You can't trick them. You can't lose them. You can't see them. You can't imagine them. You can't control them. You can't remove them. You can't hurt them. You can't help them. You can't change them. You can't move them. You can't take them. You can't know them. You can't touch them. You can't handle them. That's Him. That's God. And that's the God in whom we worship. And that's the God that this world needs to be introduced to. And tonight we find He dwelleth not in the temples made with hands. Is He not only the only true, living, eternal, ever-present God, but He is, in verse 25, the only God that needs nothing. The Bible says, neither is worshipped with man's hands as though He needeth anything. And we find that this God that... There be no other gods before me, God said in the first commandment. Amen. So we've got to be careful of that. So there's no other gods. But what God's before us is the only true God. And that God needeth nothing. He don't need tonight. He don't need worship with man's hands. He don't need your works. He don't need your money. He don't need your tithe. He don't need your talent. He don't need your breath. He don't need anything, friend. He don't have anything. He's self-sustaining. Amen. He is one who sustains without all. He is one tonight that is not waiting on us. He is one tonight that is not being held back by one thing. He is a God that has need of nothing. He don't need you. He don't need me. He don't need this church. He don't need nothing from anybody tonight. He's God. I feel like slapping the devil in the face. He needs nothing from man. You know, a lot of times we think if I don't get my tithes, He's going to go broke. A lot of times we think, well, if we don't come to church, God's going to be, I'm so discouraged, He might go off into depression. Sometimes we feel like that God needs us so that we can continue on the ministry. Many times we think that God is expecting us, and God's will only go forward is if we move forward. And God's work will only continue as long as we continue. Man, you are so deceived. The God I'm speaking of tonight don't need nothing. Nothing. How humbling that is tonight that He don't need you. How humbling it is tonight that He doesn't need me. How humbling tonight it is that this God is self-sustaining. That this God doesn't need man at all. Is He not that? But He is the only God that gives everything. Look at this. The Bible says in verse 25, seeing He giveth to all life. It's this God that I'm talking about worshiping tonight that gave you life. You thought it was your mom and daddy. You thought, man, there was just a time, and all of a sudden you was conceived, and all the time, and 9 months later you was born, and you come forth, and you come out crying and naked, and you're thinking, boy, I got life. And ever since then, you've been living it up. But tonight, it is God that gave you life. It is God that keeps you living. It is God that makes you live. It is God that could take you today, and He would die, and He'd be right for it. Amen. Just remember tonight, the God that we're talking about worshiping is the God that's life. Amen. And everybody who's killing those babies in the womb of those mothers are going to face this God who gave life to that baby and they killed it. Right. We find tonight, not only does He give life, but the Bible says He gives breath. He said, and breath in verse 25. This God gives everything. He gives life, but He gives breath. You know that breath you're breathing? You say, go on. Do like that. Go. God did that for you. Anyway, I mean, any time God could say, give my breath back. I've let you borrow that for 34 years. I'll let you borrow that for 60 years. I'll let you borrow that for 35 years. I'll let you borrow that for 16 years. I'll let you borrow that, and now it's time for me to take it back. And God would be right. The breath that we have tonight, The breath that we can move on and build strength and have endurance, and that we can live for God and we can take care of our families and we can live a life of pleasure and live a life of joy. That breath that sustains us every single hour, every single day, every single time is Him giving us breath. That's the God tonight that our motive is to bring to the world. Worship God. Because He's a God that not only don't need nothing, but He's a God that gives everything. He gives life. He gives breath. Thirdly, the Bible says that He gives everything, where He says, and all things. Tonight, you got a mustache. God gave that to you. You got gray hair. God gave that to you. You might have a little more weight than you ought to have. God gave that to you. You might be only 6 foot. You might be 5 foot. God gave that to you. You know those children, you know that wife, that spouse, you know that money you have, you know things that you don't have, God gave that to you. Tonight, I'm just saying that you wouldn't have been here tonight without that car, and that car didn't come because you worked so hard. That car came because He gave it to you. You say, I don't believe that, brother. Well, let me ask you a question tonight. If God didn't give you life, you wouldn't even be here.
That's right.
You wouldn't have a car. No. If God wouldn't give you breath, you wouldn't be here either. So somebody else be driving your car. And if God didn't give you the ability or the skill or the talent to go out and work, you wouldn't have the car. And if God didn't give you the ability to stay at a place and have the character and integrity to do your job and do it well and do it well enough, or you get fired, then you wouldn't have the car. God gave you the money so that you could work and get the money and pay for the car. And you pay for the car because it's God's money He's given you to pay for His car.
Amen. That's right.
Don't argue with me. Man, God gives everything. Everything. Man, that don't this want you to, makes you want to just worship God? I mean, I just feel like falling down right now before Him in homage and prostrate and with my heart full of humility and submission and saying, oh God, how unworthy I am. And You're the God of gods and the Lord of lords. Worship God. I pray that we have this mission. He does more, though. I mean, it's not that. Don't close your Bible yet. I mean, it says in verse 26, it says, He hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. Now, we all look different, but we got the same blood. Man, you know, we all come from different places, but you got the same blood. I mean, there ain't no racism with God. There's one blood. Different color skins. Different heights, different genders, different sexes. And by the way, there's only male and female. There's not beyond that. Everybody? Okay, just want to make sure that we're still on the right track. We find that He is the one who makes, He's the one tonight that's made all men with the same blood. All right, so you're not better than me. I'm not better than you. Now, you might be better looking than me, but I might be stronger than you. You might be prettier, but you might not be as wise. Hey, I don't know. All I know is He's made everybody of one blood. Number two, I noticed, not only does He make us, but He sets us. He says that, and hath determined the times. In other words, you're living in 2022. You say, oh, the reason why I'm living in 2022 because I'm a certain age and my mom and daddy, you know, had a relationship and they conceived me on this day. And now, that many years ago, 60 years ago for me, when I was born, 9 months prior to that, you know, all that took place and here I am in 2022. You're mistaken. You're living today because that's where God has set you, determined your times. That's right. That's right. You're living 2022 because God has put you. He could have put you in 1700s. He could put you into 3000. But that's not God. The God that we're worshiping put us right here at this time, at this day, at this hour. Amen. Ain't good. that I am here because God has determined me to be here. Worship God. I'm not going to finish this thing, I know. Not only does he set us, but then in verse 26, the Bible says, before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Now here, get this. Now, you say, okay, there in the Gulf of Mexico, we got the Gulf of Mexico water, right? And it comes up on the beach of Galveston. That's where God said you're going to go. The Pacific, the Atlantic, all those oceans, all that water, God says, I gave you boundaries with that. That's as far as you go. It's all you're going to go. He says to nations, this is all you're going to have. This is all you're going to get, and that's all you're going to give. He says to you and I that I live where I live because God has boundaried me there. You live where you live because God has boundaried you there. You don't live where you live because someday you had a good deal on a house. And you don't live where you live because someday you had a real good job and you said, you know what, I think I'm just going to live here and do that. I'm going to church here and, you know, I made all these decisions. I'm making all these choices. You didn't show up here tonight by accident. You didn't show up here tonight because of your choice. You didn't show up here tonight because you made a decision. You show up here because God, the Almighty, the God whom we worship tonight, has set a boundary to you. And he said, you're going to be here and you don't even know it. Amen. And you're here. And where you live is where you live. And where you go is where you go. And what state you're in, what state you're in. Until God changes his mind, you won't get out of it.
That's right.
He's in charge.
Yes, he is.
Woo! Man, don't you just want to give this to your neighbors? Don't you just want to give this to your family and coworkers and even your enemies tonight and say, all I want you to do is worship God. And this is him. Oh, my. I know it's Wednesday night, but, man, these Wednesday nights haven't been like Wednesday nights. I don't know what's happening. I say verse 27. They that should seek the Lord, if happily, they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far away from every one of us. You know, a lot of people say, I can't find God. That's not, you're not talking about my God. You say, well, I don't know where God is. I've just got God, where you at? He's right near you. See, that's my God. That's your God, if you're saved. He's near us. He's so close he can hear our prayer. He's so close he can see us with his eye. He's so close he can touch us with his hand. He's so close that he can feel our infirmities. He's so close. He's going to take us home.
Amen.
Oh, that's my God. That's the God tonight that you and I need a motive on missions to send out to that world, to send out to the lost and send out to the ignorant. That my God, the God is to worship, is this God that is gives life, gives breath, gives everything. He makes us, he sets us, he controls us, he's near us. But then verse 28, he supports us. For in him we live and move, and have our beings. You can't get out of it. If you think you can run faster than God, you're crazy. If you think you can hide, and God can't find you, you lost your mind. There is absolutely no place in this atmosphere that you can go where God's not. He is the supporting of us. I mean, if we move, God moved us. And let's look at it. You say, in him we live and move and have our being. I mean, like right now, what we're doing right here, God, it's God. It's not you. When you think it's you, you done lost it. It's God. That's the God that we want to give to the world. Number two, not only tonight do I notice the person of worship is the God I described. Have no other gods before me. But then secondly, there's the plan of worship. And that's the second commandment. And that second commandment, it says to have no other image. Right? So let's read that. I know that this is probably my last point. I can't get to all of them tonight. Unless you just want me to preach on till 10, 12. Some of y'all might fall back like they did in days of Paul, break your neck. We got Brother Keith here. He was an EMS at one time. He can help you. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 4, it says, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image." You know that picture of Jesus? That's sin. If you have it, get rid of it. You know that Jesus on the cross, called the crucifix? Get rid of it. You're totally in disobedience to God's word. You'll be careful, right? Bible says, "Thou shalt not make any unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, that is in the earth beneath, that is in the water underneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of thy fathers upon the children, the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Let me give you this here. I got 6 points under this point here, but I go fast. Nothing made with hands can be worshipped. Get that. Nothing made with hands can be worshipped. That's what Paul said there in Acts chapter 17 into our text. I'll read that for you here so that you can see it. Neither is worshipped with man's hands. All right? So we find tonight that if there's anything in your life that you're worshiping, then you're in idolatry. The only thing you can worship is God. Amen. Nothing that man hands have made, not a statue, not an image, not a picture, nothing. Gun, woman, man, children, nothing. Nothing. If you do, then you don't have the God that I'm speaking of tonight. You know, with that being said, the world is in danger. They are worshiping everything but the God, right? We've got such a job to do. We've got such a responsibility to do to go out and tell them, hey, we want you to worship God. The second commandment is, have no other graven image before me. Nothing made with hands can be worshipped. Number 2, verse 5, there in Exodus chapter 20, nothing can be bowed down to. Anything you bow to, anything that you give homage to, anything that you kneel to. A lot of husbands do this with their wives, and a lot of wives with their husbands, and a multitude of parents with their children. And they don't even know that they're bowing down. And they find themselves in hot water with God. Money. People won't come to church because of money. People will take God and move them off to the side because of a career. Bowing down. Bowing down. Number 3, nothing made can be served. Served. So it says there in Exodus chapter 20, as we read a while ago, and so we find that you can't serve anything. Nothing you can labor to except God. That's it. The reason why that you would serve your husband is because of God. Why you'd serve your family, because of God. Why you serve your church? Because of God. Why you serve your employer? Because of God. I'm worshiping God. And worshiping God, I can serve you because that's what God would have me to do, right? But if you're just serving them and serving others, you'll find yourself not in the plan of worship. The plan of worship, the parameters of worship, the circumference of worship is very little, very little. There's nothing man's hands can be made that you can worship, nothing made that you can bow down to, and nothing that you can serve, nothing made that can be loved. Only God can be loved. Yeah, I mean, that's what it says in Exodus chapter 20. It says that showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And one of the commandments is, the second commandment, is to have, that which it says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Right? So you can't keep his commandments and not keep the second commandment. So you have to love. Nothing that man makes, you can love. Nothing that man makes today, you can bow down to. Nothing that man makes today that you can serve. Nothing that man makes today you can worship. I'm telling you, it's a little window. Right? Number five. Everyone that worships everything hates God. Look what it says there in verse 5. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting iniquity of the fathers unto the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And so today, tonight, everyone that worships everything hates God. Right? Number two, everyone that worships everything and God hates God. So what happens is people have all these gods, and they got God within the gods. Like the importance of their life, they got church in the list of work, in the list of activities, in the list of this, and list of that, list of this, list of that. And so God's in your list. And so you just kind of have a bag, and you got all kind of stuff in the bag. Well, God said this. He said, if I'm just not the God, have no other graven images before me, and have no other God before me, then you hate me. So there's no room for discussion. There's no room to bring in all this other baggage. And the world, can you see the world tonight just dying and going to hell? Because they don't worship God. And the reason why they don't worship God is because churches are not reaching out to the world and the lost and the ignorant to let them know how they can worship this God. There's a plan of worship. There's the person of worship. I can't preach it tonight, but there's the practice of worship, and then there's the place of worship. So tonight, the whole mindset of preaching this tonight was to give you a vision of missions. That a vision that we must have is that we must have the motive. We must have the directive. And that directive is to declare Him. And He's the person of worship, the plan of worship. And it's the first four of the law or the commandments out of Exodus. The next one is very interesting. It says, thou shalt not blaspheme or take the Lord's name in vain. Right? That's interesting. That's the practice of worship. The last one is the place of worship, and it talks about remember the Sabbath and keeping it holy. That's another interesting one. Maybe I'll preach it next Wednesday. All right? Anybody just need to be saved tonight? You say, I just want to worship God. I'm so tired of playing games. I'm so tired of just messing around. I'm ready. I'm ready to worship God. Repent of your sin and by faith receive Christ tonight, and you can. Anybody like that? Let's stand to our feet. I thank you for your patience. You know, I don't get to preach very much these days. So when I get to, I'll probably take advantage of it. But tonight is in my heart. What a God. I'm so glad October 30th, I was introduced to God the Father through Jesus Christ. It's changed my life. I've never been the same. I don't want to be the same. What a wonderful journey. What a wonderful life. To live a life and get to worship God, there's no greater life than that. I feel sorry for you if you're not experiencing the worship of God. My heart breaks. If I could, I would grab you and take you and say, come on, let's get it with God. But I can't. You got to make that choice yourself. But don't take another day without worshiping God, the person. And that person's Jesus. He's the God to be worshiped. Anybody tonight? All right. Any prayer requests?
Yes, He is calling you and me into the world.